I had a question in regards to knowing God's will for your life. If you believe that you know what God's will is for your life, it's actually for my husband. Because he felt he was called to a specific thing, did that for some years, and then has gradually gotten out of it due to circumstances that have happened to us. And now we are confused as to what God wants for us now. Where do we go from there?
Wow, that's an interesting question. Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. We're going to be focusing on this topic of God's will. It's a huge topic, and 28 minutes is not going to do it justice. But hopefully we can address a few issues like this question from our caller to help us understand the power of experiencing God's, what I call God's intention for our life. What is His will? I wish we had a little more information, because as we listen to the caller, she's saying really he's feeling convicted. This is God's will for his life, and yet circumstances. And you know, when I hear that, I think of how easily Satan can use circumstances to kick us out of the lane of what is God's will. If God has called you to something, you can expect opposition. I'm thinking of my friend in the Old Testament, Nehemiah. God called him to be the leader to rebuild those walls of Jerusalem. And if you read the book of Nehemiah, you see he had a lot of opposition. He had a lot of resistance. He had a lot of, quote, circumstances that could have stood in his way or did stand in his way. And yet he allowed God to set those aside, and he kept going, knowing that God had something special for his life. So today, that's what we're going to be talking about. I'll tell you what, we have callers standing by, but I'd love to hear your story. If you can share with us on our storyline, I would love to hear how you have experienced or wrestled with finding God's will for your life. Give us a call. 888-888-1717 is my number. 888-888-1717 is the number. And I just want to say before we go any further into the show today, how much I appreciate and thankful for those of you who have been praying for us here as a team. We've just been thankful for what God has been doing. We just came out of our board meeting. I'm so thankful for our board of directors who help guide the ministry and lead the ministry and encourage us and pray with us as we look to a brand new, exciting fiscal year here together, experiencing God's intention for this ministry. I believe that God's will is not nebulous or vague. It's all revealed for you and for me in His Word. To know and live in God's will, you must know and apply the Bible to every situation. And to do that, we've got to prioritize studying the Bible and prayer, spending time in His Word, understanding what He's saying to us. Do you take time to regularly ask God for guidance? Do you spend time communicating in prayer? Do you wait upon the Holy Spirit in your life? You know, if a Bible teacher or church service is your sole source of divine insight, I encourage you, if you're seeking God's will, to spend time for yourself before the Lord in His Word, to ask Him, be hungry for Him, to seek Him. And when we seek His will earnestly through prayer, seeking Him in the Scripture and what the Bible has to say, and allowing His Holy Spirit to move in our lives, that's when we can find God's will for our life. But I'm going to do a little more teaching on today's program, but I'd really like to get into understanding a little more of this thing of understanding God's will for our lives. There was a poet in the 20th century, probably the most famous American poet of the 20th century, was Robert Frost, and he wrote many very interesting, thought-provoking poems. His best known was one actually he wrote in the early part of the 20th century, and he called it The Road Not Taken. And he said, listen to what he says in this poem. He says, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler long I stood, and I looked down as one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. And then the closing stanza, it says, I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in the wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. There's much to that poem if you really
enjoy poetry and you study the meaning behind poems. But at the heart of it, you can see the picture here of this guy standing in the woods, and there's two paths, one going to the left and one going to the right. He looks as far as he can down one until it goes around the corner. He can see it no longer, knowing that he probably won't come back to this point again in his life. He can't come back. You know, it's always forward motion. And he decides to choose the other path. It's interesting in the poem, though. He says, I shall be sharing this with a sigh. And I don't know if the sigh is, I made the right decision, or the sigh, I made the wrong decision. Like poetry, you have to really kind of think about it. But there is one truth that really comes through. The path that you take will make all the difference in your life. And when we think about knowing God's will, the deeper I get into the research and study and understanding of what it means to be intentional, I understand that this word is much more powerful than even I understood at the very beginning of launching this intentional living ministry. Because it's way beyond a goal. A goal will change over time. Maybe you had a goal 10 years ago and that goal is different today, but if you don't anchor that goal into something bigger than just your own heart, your own desires, your own thinking, it may be even a good goal. I think in our lives sometimes when we have goals, and if you're a goal kind of person, you can work on your goal and still at the end of the day feel kind of empty because it's not tied to God's intention. And we teach here at Intentional Living about experiencing true freedom in Christ, and I use the acrostic of FREE, F-R-E-E, and for the letter F, I talk about focusing on God's intention, meaning that ultimately, if you want to know God's will for your life, find it in God's intention for your life, and that really comes to getting into God's Word, it gets into prayer, it gets into reading biographies, it gets into reading Scripture, it gets into good counsel, and really understanding God's intention for the practical areas of your life, your finances. God has an intention for your finances. He has an intention for your marriage, or if you're a single parent, for your parenting. He has an intention for your life and your career, for you, and your goal is to really discern and find that through prayer and leading and time and mistakes. And it's a joy in the journey. And I think ultimately at the end of this program today, we're going to find out that knowing God's will is a whole lot more than just getting up in the morning saying, hey, I feel good, or I'm excited about what I'm doing. There's a lot of people been excited about what they're doing, and it led them into failure. It's really understanding God's intention, and then those intentions turn to goals and then to actions and habits and so on. So I'd ask you the question. We're going to get into some scripture here as well. How is it that you know? How do you know when you're living right in the center of God's will or very nearby? More to say on this. Questions coming in. Let's get to Tina in Missouri. Looks like you're seeking God's will on something, Tina, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
What's going on?
Well, I called in and talking about taking a risk. And basically, I put my life on hold for, you know, my family and a family business for 4 years. It was a bar and grill. And, you know, got no help from the family financially or anything. So I came to be $60,000 in debt. $35,000, you know, for a small business loan, and then $25,000 of my own personal money, and basically the business failed. So it's like, you know.
Let me understand. You jumped into a family business that was failing, and yet the family wasn't helping you?
Well, it wasn't failing at the time. It was a new business.
Okay.
We had just opened it.
All right. So when you say you jumped in to help, but the family wasn't there to help you get it going?
Correct.
Okay. All right. All right. Then what happened? Where did you move from there?
Well, I tried to keep the business up and going. That's why, you know, I accrued the $60,000 worth of debt. You know, I would ask my family for help, and they would not give it to me. So it just got to the point where I just couldn't do it anymore, and so I closed the business. And so it's like now I used to have good credit. Now I have horrible credit because, you know, nobody is paying off the $35,000 loan. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, now the people that we got the loan from, they want their money. And it's like I have another goal that I do believe, you know, is what I'm supposed to do, and that's a mentoring business. And it's just like I feel like I can't move forward because, mm-hmm. you know, all the other nonsense with the bar is holding me back.
Well, Tina, listen, you're raising a question. When people are seeking God's will, sometimes they're looking to the future, but you got problems in the past you got to clean up before you can move to the future. And I think that it's a really interesting reminder to us, Tina, that when we move forward in terms of making a decision, when we feel that God is moving us in a certain direction, one of the things that we tell people to ask themselves, we have a list of 10 questions to really seek and understand God's will, if it's God's will for your life. By the way, it's on our website. You can get to it. But one of the questions is do I have any unfinished business? In other words, am I going to break any vows or commitments I've made moving forward that I need to clean up and take care of in the past? And I think when it comes to this kind of thing, Tina, before you really move to the next thing in your life, you got to stop, get good counsel, and understand that part of it is cleaning up the mess in the past, whatever that takes. I don't know if it's bankruptcy. You have to get some legal counsel and get some biblical counsel. But whatever the steps are to clean up to the extent that you can, those things in the past, before you jump onto something else. I think sometimes people do this. They'll jump out of a relationship that they don't think is working, or they go through a divorce, and they don't stop and say at this moment, God, what in the world is going on in my life here? What's happening? What do you have for me? What do you want me to do? And they move from point A to point B without ever finding out what happened at point A. And if you don't take care of what happened at point A, point B is just going to be a repeat of the same mess with new people. And so that's what I really encourage you to think about, Tina, as you're seeking God's will. By the way, we do have that list of the 10 at our website, right? It's just go to theintentionallife.com. Click on the broadcast highlights and it'll be there for you today. A list of 10 questions to ask yourself about seeking God's will. But getting back to God's intention again, what is God's intention? You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is living and powerful, that it exposes everything. It divides, it says, soul and spirit, and reveals the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. It lays us bare. And if we really want to know what God's will is, we got to be laid bare to understand what that is. And that's not an easy process. And for me, I admit, we get so controlled, we want to hang on, got our own thoughts. And unless we get into God's word, it's a great starting place to make sure we're in the middle of his will. 888-888-1717.
My one intentional thing is to do God's will no matter what. Get that first place and priority in my life. I was reading the Word this morning, and Jesus prayed 3 times to have this cup pass from him. But, you know, he didn't really want to go to the cross and suffer all the stuff he suffered. And he asked the Father 3 times if there's any other way. But he always ended it with, "Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done." So that's my intentional thing I'm going to do each day. Pray for God's will. The knowledge of God's will and the power to carry it out. This is Jim from Flagstaff. Thanks, Randy. Keep up the good work and God bless you. Bye.
Thank you, Jim. You're right on. I think that's a great starting point when we start with the humility. You know, when you think about the word intention, it's an interesting word. You hear it a lot here because that is the core of this ministry and this is who we are. This is our brand, if you please. Intentional living. But when you look at it from a legal perspective, I was doing some research and reading some things from people in the law, and they're talking about intent. That's a big word in the law. If you're a lawyer today, you know that it's a big word. Is there an intent behind the action or intent behind the crime and so on? And discerning that can be very difficult. It's different than just a goal. It's an intention. It's deep. It speaks of a mindset and a will to act in a certain way. And so when we understand God's intention, stop there for a moment, because you can't understand his intention if you don't know what they are. Unless you read scripture and pray, these are the basic things of spiritual discipline that God's intention starts to be revealed. As it's revealed to your spirit, then your intention can come into agreement with that. And that becomes sort of a permanency. That's something that will extend well beyond a local kind of temporary goal that you might be setting for your life for the next 30 days or the next 6 months. It becomes foundational to understand intention. That is really the ultimate in understanding what God's will is for your life. Greg is in Missouri with a question on this topic today. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks, Dr. Andy.
Appreciate your call. What's your question?
I'm just kind of seeking for what is God's will for my life right now.
You had a crossroad like we talked about?
A little bit, yeah. I got divorced a little over 2 years ago after being married about 13 years. I have three kids and intentionally did not date for a year. Just try to reestablish myself a little bit and work on just getting used to the new. Then went out on a couple of dates and kind of was not really thinking much about anything romantic. And about 6 months ago, met a wonderful woman, and we dated very seriously for about 6 months. And we both came to the conclusion that it went faster than what we both wanted it to. She also is a divorced of three as well. And so we decided to kind of back off, despite caring a lot for each other, and trying to just date very, very gradually and slowly.
That's wise.
And so I'm trying to find out, though, that there's a lot of life to figure out, and trying not to, one of those things, think too far ahead, but yet still, be intentional about what are the, long-run possibilities, I guess, or the intentions of dating this person.
Well, I think based on what we're talking about today, Greg, we talk about knowing God's intention. The word is very clear that as a parent, your number one priority is to raise those kids. You said you had three?
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question that it's God's intention for you to be the dad, to step up, help, raise those kids, raise them responsibly, help them come to know God. If that's what happens in their life, and then to follow God. So it's clear that God's intention for your life is to do that. It's less clear, is it God's intention for you to get remarried?
Right.
So I'd ask the question, how are you doing in the things you do know to be God's intention for your life? Your purity, your kids, your growth in Christ, and so on. The things that you do know, what's your response to that as far as how intentional you are with those things?
Well, I think following the divorce, I finally started to develop the relationship with God that I wished I had and thought I had before, but really was just a believer and not a follower. I think, unfortunately, the dating for us the last 6 months was really great, but it was not completely pure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to reestablish that.
Okay.
I think that.
Yeah, I mean, that's not God's intention. So you know what's happening, Greg? Here's what I hear. I hear a guy who says, "Hey, I went through a bad thing in divorce. I really started to seek God. I wanted to be beyond just a believer. I want to be a follower, an active follower. And now I got a little bit off track here. I'm going down the wrong path. We've made some mistakes. We've sinned, and we're saying, hey, I don't want to go down this path." To me, that is evidence that the Holy Spirit is doing something in your life, that you feel convicted enough to talk about this. I mean, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Okay.
And so my encouragement to you, Greg, would be very simple. I think you need to find some godly counsel, some men that you can be with, a pastor, a counselor, that the two of you keep separate your relationship at this point and really seek God's will in terms of what he has for the two of you. But the discernment that you have, that you know it's not God's intention for you to be going down this path the way it's been going, to stop. And making sure that the intentions you do know about, raising your kids, remaining pure, all the things that we've talked about, that you're really taking care of those things first. And I think as you do those things, it'll become more clear what God's intention may or may not be in terms of this relationship with this woman. But I applaud the fact that you're sensitive to it. There's a lot of people listening could care less today. you realize it's not God's intention. Therefore, you want to go on a different path. So seeking God's will, hey, I think it's pretty clear. Get into counseling, get accountability, slow it way down, and then really pray before you go any further in that relationship.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
Hey, thanks, Kurt, and we do welcome you back here to the Intentional Living Center. You know, today we're talking about, how do you know God's will? This has been one of those discussions we've had in church and Sunday school and small groups over the years. And of course, as we've shared with you, it's getting back into God's Word, understanding that's where it begins. And one of the things I've shared is that anything that's contrary to what the Bible teaches, anything that's contrary to what we know is the heart of God for our lives in His revealed Word, certainly needs to be taken into consideration. When God says, thou shalt not, then it's pretty clear when it comes to, is it God's will? If God says, thou shalt not, then it's not. And I think getting back to the basics, the understanding that Scripture speaks to us about our life and our relationships really does make a difference. Also, before we move on, I encourage you to share with us, how is it that you have come to the conclusion of where you are today, that you're in the center of God's will? How do you know when you're in God's will? What are some of the, what's the evidence that you're in God's will? How do you discern, as we use a term that we use in our Christian community, I suppose, how do you discern that you're in the middle of God's will? Let us know. I'd love to hear it on our storyline. Call 888-888-1717. Again, go to 888-888-1717. Let us know. What is it that really helps you know that you're in the middle of God's will?
Got your message that you would like us to share the different things that we're doing in our life due to listening to your radio station. Our house payment was taking up a majority of our income, and we were not able to tithe and make our house payment. We recently have made the decision to go ahead and let the house go, to sell it. We've taken a huge financial loss, but it's become very important to us to financially put into the kingdom. We want to be tithing, and we want to be supporting your ministry on the radio, and it's time for Christians to step up, start funding and making life decisions so that the future of Christianity to the next generation can be carried through. And we need things like the radio station and ministries. Put our money where things are important. So I just thank you so much for that, because I've never felt so good about my money. And I actually feel better about downsizing. My heart is fuller than it ever was in the bigger house. So thank you for letting me have the opportunity to learn that. God bless this ministry and you. Bye.
Well, first, let me say thank you. Appreciate your support and for a life decision that you and your spouse made about downsizing so you can live your life more intentionally for Christ. There's freedom in that, and I applaud that. But at the end of the day, I'll tell you what, if you violate your conscience, you're going to get bit every time. When God's leading you and speaking to you at that level that's just very intimate, the Holy Spirit talking to you, it's a time to be very sensitive to what He's saying. Well, you know what? The frustration, and I say this from time to time, is a half hour. Because I wish we could just spend the next couple of hours just talking on this, because we're just scratching the surface. But I will say this, I think it's worth your time if you're really seeking God and you have some questions you want to ask, get you thinking, maybe as a couple or with your friends, to sit down and talk about, is this God's will for my life or not, what I'm about to do? I'd encourage you to get the top 10 list, the intentionals on in making important decisions when you go to theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Doctor. Good morning. My name is Jonas, calling from Minneapolis area. I was listening to your program one day. I was praying that morning. It's impressed in my heart that I was not living intentionally. Then I listened to your program, and I found out that it was what God wanted me to follow. God bless you, and have a good day.
Thank you, Jonas. I appreciate your words, and it reminds me that we really believe here as a board, as a leadership team. I know my wife, Donna, and myself, and Stephen, and Jennifer, and the rest of the team, that God has allowed us this message to remind us of the fact that in our walk with Christ, we have to make a decision of how we're going to live. You know, God can save us, and He does. He does all the saving, but every day, we're the one that has to get up and do the living. And we do that trusting Him and faith in Him. But He wants us to not only enjoy our salvation and rest in that relationship with Him, but then also live our lives, not only obediently in Him, but also recognizing that around us there are people who are struggling, that we can come alongside and encourage them too to live an intentional life in Christ. And that is why this ministry exists and why your support for it is making a difference. Paul is a very logical person. He was a thinker. He was an intellectual. And as he wrote, he did in an orderly fashion, just like an attorney would lay out the case, A, B, C, D, E. Therefore, here's what you can expect. And he says to us in Ephesians 4 through 6, first, you need to be, because that precedes what you're going to do. He focuses on what we're becoming. And then he talks about what we're to do. Are you ready? Paul says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, that whole book of Ephesians is a powerful reminder of this be before doing. I talked about this with our board of directors last week, that when you look at Scripture, the fact that God is very clear, we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. We read that in Ephesians. But then he goes on to say in the latter part, the last three chapters, therefore, as a result of who we are in Christ and what Christ has done for us, the Bible uses the word, we're sealed with Him. It's a powerful reminder of our relationship, that we're to walk worthy of the calling, Paul says. In other words, we're to move from sitting to walking, sitting and enjoying our relationship with Him, to actually getting up and exercising our calling every day. And that's what intentional living is here to help you do in your marriage, in your family, in your relationships. And we can't do it without your help. So I'm asking you today, as we close the show, would you pick up the phone or go online and say, I want to be a part of this. Your financial support is making a difference to the ministry. Just go to theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.